for us to pause for a moment and think back to the very beginning of time. Eve had just taken that bite, and it wasn't long after that Adam did the same, and that began a tear, a rip, that would eventually separate God from His created beings. It seemed impossible. It seemed hopeless. Humanity hopelessly lost forever. And yet, if you look in Genesis, the third chapter, hope springs from this passage of Scripture. Genesis, the third chapter, verse 15. God is speaking to Adam and Eve. They have just realized the terrible sin that they had committed. They just realized that now they were going to be separated from God. They didn't know what the future was to bring. And yet God speaks to them here and He says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between her offspring and hers. And he will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." God is opening a way here at the very beginning of time. He is opening a way for our salvation. The prophecy of hope. A prophecy of a coming Messiah. One who would crush evil. One who would crush sin. But that's not all. The Bible is full of prophecies. God laid out for His children a plan of hope. The story of Abraham in Genesis chapter 22, Abraham is asked to take his son and offer his son as a sacrifice. And so Abraham takes Isaac up to that mountaintop. And Isaac notices that there is no lamb for a sacrifice. And Abraham, by faith, says, "God will provide a lamb." God was trying to show Abraham the plan of salvation through that experience. Just a small window to peer through to see that there is hope, that God is providing a lamb, that God would provide a lamb for all humanity. The Lamb of God. Isaiah chapter 53 is a chapter that is the essence of the gospel. It is a depiction of the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah sees into the future and he sees the Son of God coming down to this earth, and he sees that he would suffer and he would offer himself as a sacrifice so that we might be healed. None of us like to see suffering, do we? It's a terrible thing to see. Far too much in this old world of ours. Far too much suffering. And yes, we might be able to bear the suffering of someone who is evil, or someone who has committed horrendous, terrible acts of violence. But when we see someone who suffers, who doesn't deserve to suffer, that's even more difficult to bear. Someone who is innocent. Someone suffering for something they are not guilty of. The gospel writers portray for us a picture of someone who is suffering for us. He's taking upon himself our sin, our death, so that we might be healed. In Matthew chapter 27 and Mark 15, John 14, we see these hideous snapshots, if you please, of the suffering of Christ Jesus. And we can hardly bear to look at it. We see Jesus with His back all covered in blood. And we can hardly gaze upon that. And like the disciples, we turn and we flee from that spot because it's more than our eyes can take. It's more than we can stand to see Jesus, the innocent Son of God, suffering in such a hideous way. Have you ever stopped for a moment to just gaze upon that picture and to realize that we have each taken a turn at bringing that whip down on Jesus' back? You see, sin is not just a disease. Like the great preacher who once said, Mr. Spurgeon once said, sin is a great deal more than a disease. It is a willful crime. And yet we are afflicted with that disease. All of us. All of us have the disease called sin. Some of us might say, well, if it's a disease, then we'll just get over it, won't we? I wish that it were so easy. But it's not. It is a disease that leads to violence and ultimately leads to the murder of an innocent man. But not just any man. It leads to the murder of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And as we gaze upon the suffering Jesus, we realize that sin is hereditary, it is universal, it is contagious, it is defiling. Yes, and it ends in death. But God provides a remedy. A heavenly medicine, if you please, to heal the sin-sick lives that we live. And what's amazing is that the healer is the one who is wounded for us. And the disease that we so desire to rid ourselves of is on Him. The weight of the burden of our sin is upon Him. It is crushing Him to the ground. Isaiah in chapter 53, if you return in your Bibles to Isaiah 53, saw this. God opened his eyes and gave him a glimpse into the suffering of Jesus Christ. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities and punished. And the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by the wounds of Jesus Christ, you and I are healed. Christ's suffering was so bitter that Jesus easily could have died from the whipping that he received at the hands of the Roman soldiers. The whippings that the Romans gave to prisoners was not intended to just punish them or make them feel uncomfortable. It was intended to kill them. Jesus could have easily have died under the weight of that heavy cross as he struggled his way up to Gethsemane, or up to Golgotha. Jesus could have died from hanging on the cross. But we are told he died from a broken heart. He didn't die at the hands of the Romans. He didn't die because of the torture of the cross. He died because of the weight of our sins. He died of a broken heart. Isaiah 53 reminds us that he was rejected so that we might be accepted. His wounds heal our wounds. The blood was his, but the balm, the remedy was ours. The price he paid gives us eternal life. It has been said that there is infinitely more power in Christ's blood to save than there is sin in our lives to destroy. Did you hear that? There is infinitely more power in Christ's blood, in the one drop of Christ's blood, to save than there is sin to destroy. The power in the blood. There is tremendous power in the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, the death of Christ was so long ago. It is an event that took place 2,000 years ago. And yet the effects and the benefits are still present today by faith. That's the good news. Even though it happened so long ago, Jesus was victorious. You see, he crushed the head of Satan. He stomped out death. Satan is no longer victorious. Jesus Christ is victorious. Just as it said in Genesis, the prophecy that was foretold to Eve and to Adam, that Jesus would crush the head of the serpent. Yes, he was wounded. His heel was bitten by sin, but it was not victorious over him. And yes, God did provide a lamb, just as he told Abraham so long ago. God provided a lamb, the Lamb of God. Think about it. The wounds of one man healing the disease of millions and millions of individuals. Jesus was wounded so that we might be healed. We are reminded in Revelation, the fifth chapter. If you would like to turn with me in your Bibles to Revelation, the last book of the Bible. Once again, we are reminded. Revelation, the fifth chapter, with verse 6. John, the Revelator, there at the very beginning of the early Christian church, has been given a vision, a revelation of Jesus Christ. And here in verse 5 he says, "Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders." John is looking into the future, a revelation of the future. Do you think he recognizes that lamb? That lamb that was slain, surrounded there in heaven, there in the throne of God. He recognized his Lord and his Savior, Jesus Christ. That Lamb that was promised, the Messiah that was promised, that would come and die for you and for me so that we can have eternal life. The Lamb of God. You know, Jesus died so that we could have freedom. The Apostle Paul reminds us over and over again that it's through Jesus Christ that we have freedom. It is through Jesus Christ that we have salvation. It is through Jesus Christ that we can lay aside our sin and we can be forgiven. It is through Jesus Christ that we can live eternally. But so often we come carrying such heavy baggage, don't we? Just as our young people portrayed so graphically this morning, we come with all kinds of burdens. All kinds of baggage that we drag around with us throughout our lives. Some of the baggage people dump on us, we accept it and we drag it around. Sometimes the baggage that we drag around is baggage that we've carried, we've made ourselves. We've created the baggage. Sometimes it's a sin, it's a secret sin in our lives that we've drug around for so long that it's become so heavy and so burdensome that we can hardly even walk through life. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that what labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you peace. I will free you from the burden of sin. I will free you from death. I will free you from all the baggage that you carry, because it's only through Jesus Christ that our sins can be forgiven. It's only through Jesus Christ that we have any hope of eternal life." I wonder this morning if some of us might be carrying around some unnecessary baggage. Would you like to give it to Jesus? Or maybe you'd rather carry it around a little longer. How much pain can you take? How long can you carry it? So much easier if you leave it at the feet of Jesus. None of us like, as I said earlier, none of us like suffering. And I had a wonderful experience this week. I want to give a testimony this morning. And maybe that will spark some testimonies in your heart and in your lives, and maybe you'd like to share. But I'm going to share one real quickly here. All of my life I've been raised on stories of great people. Men and women who have given their lives, men and women who have sacrificed to share the good news of salvation to people in heathen countries, people around the world in dark corners of this earth. One story that has stood out in my mind is the story of David Lim. Anybody recognize that name? A man who has fought a battle, who has fought a good fight for the Lord. He was a classmate of my father's at PUC. They used to pray together. They used to go up in the mountain overlooking the campus every morning, and they would pray. He would pour out his heart asking God to save China. And my father would pour out his heart asking God to save Indonesia and Malaysia and those countries that he had grown up in. And day after day, they would ask God to help them to find ways to spread the good news of salvation, the good news of our risen Lord. They graduated. My father went off to be a missionary in Korea. David Lim went off to be a missionary to China. Not long after he went, communism swept the country. And David Lim was put in prison, a very young man. And he was beaten. He was tortured. He was told that he must recant from Christianity to accept communism. He refused to do that. He spent decades in Chinese prisons being tortured. His wife was beaten and dragged through the streets by the Red Guards. Her head was beaten so badly she became deaf. She was partially blinded. 2 days ago, I had the privilege of meeting David Lim in the retirement home where my father is right now. I have to tell you, that's probably one of the most the rewarding experiences of my life is I took those hands in mine, hands that have been broken so many times. I looked into that face. I expected to see a face that was scarred, that was had furrows, eyes that were had no life or spark in them. I expected to see a man whose spirit was broken and crushed. And I was actually taken back as I looked into his face, and it was as though I saw the face of Jesus. A face with such peace and tranquility beyond what he had suffered in his lifetime. I couldn't say anything. I just held his hand and I looked in his face and I said, "Sir, I'm so pleased to meet you. I'm so glad I've heard so much about you." We don't like suffering, especially people who are innocent. And yet, because of David Lim's willingness to stay faithful to his Lord and Savior, today, China is thriving. It is a nation where Christianity is growing so fast that they can't even count how many Christians there are. They have no idea, no idea how many Christians there are in China. I'm thankful for the lives of men and women. Men and women who have a testimony. My father had the privilege of holding mass evangelisms, bringing thousands of people to the Lord. He stood in front of thousands. David Lim sat in a prison, languishing away, wondering what his future was. And yet God used his testimony in a prison to bring millions, maybe. Who knows? We have no idea. Millions to the Lord. Who knows? Who knows? God may call one of us to suffer. We don't like suffering. We don't like suffering. Especially when it involves someone who is innocent. I wonder this morning if there might be some who would like to share a testimony of what Jesus means to you this morning. Somebody would like to just give a testimony, just share something, maybe a word or two, passage of Scripture.
God calls us to be ready at any time to share the hope that's in our heart. And it comes in funny moments, funny ways. Sometimes it's just listening to someone pour out their heart and offering Jesus as the hope. And I had that privilege this week with a friend, with a co-worker, after another co-worker had died. I didn't think I was ready, but God had planted his word in my heart, and I was able to share it with my co-worker, and she's coming to know the Lord.
Amen. Thank you. Anybody else?
Most of you know my wife, Carol, and she's not here today, so I'll take the liberty to tell a story about Carol. So if I tell it right, I won't suffer too much, hopefully. It's just a testament about what God, the practical difference knowing a loving God can do in somebody's life. As you know, Carol was diagnosed with breast cancer. I know there are others in this congregation who've been through that experience. But I'll never forget what Carol told me 2 days later. She just looked at me and she said, "You know, Marty," she says, "whatever way God wants to use me is fine with me. I don't mind. And if he wants me to go down this difficult path, that's okay." And I knew that the only way she could possibly say that was because of the Lord in her life. And it was a huge relief to me, because from that point forward, I didn't have to worry about Carol. She was okay. She knew that her loving Lord had her in his hands, and she was fine. So I just wanted, that was just a practical thing that God did for her, and what freedom it brought for her, and what a joy it's been for me.
Amen.
I haven't shared this with many people because I couldn't get through without crying about it. But a couple years ago, my uncle on my mom's side, he's an ex-Marine. He was one of these hard-drinking, hard-partying kind of guys. So just, you know, life of the party. Crazy, you know, I'd do anything for a laugh. I'm just a nice guy, but, you know, definitely probably heading the wrong way. But, and 2 years ago, he passed away. And I got to talk to him the day before he died. And he said something that really surprised me. He said, you know, I used to look at you and your wife, and I thought you guys were crazy. Because I couldn't understand, you know, this belief you have, this thing you have for God. And now I know. And it took him until the end of his life to give his life to Jesus, but he did it. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't help but thinking of the thief on the cross.
Amen.
You know, that same day he lived, you know, a life of crime, and in the very day he died, you know, Jesus forgave him and said, "You'll be with me in the kingdom." And I know I talked to my uncle that I'll see him there. Just never underestimate the effect you have on people, even if you don't say anything to him. I mean, I never even talked to him about it, but just the things that he heard from other people, or, you know, from my mom or whoever else, and I had no idea it had an effect on him like that. And at the service, it was his last wish that everybody that was there would get to know Jesus too, and there was a lot of people that were touched by that.
Yeah.
Just never underestimate the power you have on affecting other people like that.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's been said that to some people, the only Jesus they will ever know is you. Jesus living in you. Like Derek said, you may not be able to say anything, but just by living a Christian life, they will know Jesus. Anyone else want to share a testimony, something? Okay. This time we want to invite those that would like to come forward. You have a special prayer request if you'd like to come forward. And we're going to have the altar prayer here at the front. Those of you that remain in the pews, just kneel where you are. And we're going to come before our Lord in prayer, offering ourselves to Him.